Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That's it. I'm Brian Bishop, your host for today. First ever annual, soon to be, perhaps, top five Revolties. This is a very inspired choice. You have the name of the listener who suggested this.
Yeah, Isaac Sandoval. I met Isaac Sandoval, I believe, a couple times. Isaac's a stand-up fella.
He's a good dude.
And he comes up with some ideas, and some of them are great. And
inspired this choice.
First of all, what does it sound like? This could be like the soundtrack for Uncut Gems, no?
I was thinking Drive, but yeah. Either way.
Total honesty here, Brian. I love the name so much. Mm-hmm. The gimmick of it all. Revolties. Yeah.
The worst of the year, we should point out.
That we're doing it mainly because I'm pushing, because I love the title so much. I hate talking badly about movies. However, some need to be called out, right?
Yes, these are not little indie movies that didn't quite get there. These are big, bloated studio productions. In fact, looking at all of mine are big, bloated, except for one. Still. Big, bloated studio productions that... never should have been in the first place. I shouldn't be.
That shouldn't be?
No, isn't that a Simpsons? What is that? I shouldn't be.
Kill me now. I grade a lot of movies too. Like, I'll look at it and say, like, did they hit the mark? Did they hit the target? Mm. It could be a movie that I absolutely despise. Amour is a great example of this. Amour is one of the toughest watches. For A, it's dull, and B, it's just heartbreaking and one of the most depressing slogs you'll ever sit through.
I recommend it to a lot of people.
Michael Haneke's look at the end of your life. And it's something that a lot of us will go through, but we don't like to look at or think about. And he made a movie called Amour where we get to all experience it for 2 hours, and it's fucking awful. I hate that movie. However, Michael Haneke made the movie that he set out to make, so I give it marks for that. You know what I mean? The worst movies are the ones that are trying to be something that they can't quite aspire to be.
Good call.
That's the more praise that's swirling around these movies, the higher they are on my list, it seems. So
I will say, thankfully, at least three out of my five were pretty derided by the public and the critics. One was mixed. Mm-hmm. Sadly, maybe a little more positive than negative, and one was, I think, enjoyed by some people. Mm-hmm. But these are five bad movies. The five worst movies that we saw this year. Yes,
yeah, 2019. This is the final thing that we'll do. You know what? Maybe we'll move it up. No, because they got the Oscars, that we already do the Oscars. But maybe it does feel a little bit weird to do our favorites and then follow it up with our least favorites. So maybe it comes a little early.
Because
I'm not going to find myself in a place next year where I'm like cramming the worst movies, going, this might be my least favorite. I'm never going to do that. These are movies that I had high hopes for. I don't go see movies that I think are going to be awful to laugh at them. That's not my style.
These are all summertime releases or earlier. So the worst of the year is usually cemented by late summer.
So I know it's your favorite part of the show, Brian, and it is mine as well. I'm going to lead the show off with a little bit of fan fiction.
My favorite.
Fan fiction. And while doing so, I would like to welcome aboard one Jordan Wolf and one Mitch Burns.
Who are these people?
Two new fellas that are going to be helping us out with the weekly duties that come with this, the Film Vault, as far as the social media side of things go. Chad Yuki is I let him off the hook. He didn't quit, and it was, you know, like mutual breakups. Right, you hear about that, but it's always bullshit. Oh no, this wasn't bullshit. Like I could see the writing on the wall. He's like, I'll continue doing this, but just to let you know, I'm working more than I've ever worked before. When I started doing it for you, I didn't have any jobs. Long story short, he was great. He set Jordan up, so Jordan is going to be doing the exact same tallying of the listener list that Chad was doing, and then Jordan is also going to be doing our yet-to-be-launched Instagram.
Jordan and Mitchell.
And then Mitch Burns. Jordan Wolf and Mitch Burns. Mitch Burns is going to be on the old Twitter machines, as well as our Facebook page over there. So we're going to have a lot of engagement. I've been, I guess they call it trolling. I've been, watching to see what's being said. And I've seen some things. I saw one that was very... One of the reasons why I'm not on the old social media is I just become enraged within usually 30 seconds.
That's what social media is for.
Reading other people's opinions about things I don't read comments about myself to go out of my way. But then sometimes when you're trying to communicate with people, you have to. You got to do that. But, I just saw one just today where somebody was, they recently saw a Mr. Rogers movie that came out last year. And they took their time because they heard how much I hated it. And they ended up enjoying it, and they thought that Tom Hanks did a bang up job.
It was okay.
The Academy thought that he did it. No, it was terrible, Brian. It just misses my list.
No, it does not.
It does. Just really? Misses. Yeah, awful, wow. Brian, awful.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but it wasn't.
Bastardized that man's awful. Name. Right. Bastardized his good name.
I feel like it. It's very complimentary.
But here's a fun little piece of trivia that you won't ever be able to use anywhere, but I thought it was worth bringing to the table.
Let's hear it.
Chad Yuki, Jordan Wolf, Mitch Burns. Mm. There are three people that have been helping out with the social media over the last 6 months. They have one thing in common besides the male genitalia, which I assume they all have. I mean,
that's not to assume. What? Tell me about the trivia.
Canada.
They're all Canadians.
Oh, Canada.
My people.
What, your people? Oh, that's right.
We've talked about this
before. I don't like that. I'm half Canadian, and I'm very proud of that. Yeah. But same. Then I think
put
about that.
Put us together, one whole Canadian.
All right, so that was pretty cool. I'm like, wait, what the hell is going on? There's a pattern here. So thanks, guys, for helping us bridge the gap until we actually get a producer, which who knows? One day. I've been emailing with a few. Yeah, I know there's some great candidates out there. I'm just not ready.
We'll make the official leap soon.
I feel I'm still mourning Logan. You know, it's too soon.
It hurts. It hurts when it keeps coming back.
How many times do we refer to him as Logan or her?
We want to cut the ties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So next week, two things. Mm-hmm. Next week, we've already recorded that show, and it just happened to be coincidentally, but it's the big winner of the auction that you did.
That's right. Laughs at Ball Brian auctioned B Film Vault co-host for a day. Mm-hmm. It was won by one of the 8%, a lovely lady named Florence, who you guys will meet next week. She was very engaging and very lovely, and we recorded the episode last week. It turns out out Florence is a horror movie aficionado.
Mm-hmm. Well, she likes this show. Horror movie aficionado. She likes horrific things.
And she chose the topic for next week. Top five mm-hmm. horror movie characters.
Self-degraded.
We should have done a long time ago, probably.
Perhaps, yeah. But also, this is not to be dismissed. Huge announcement on the show. We reveal something about this here show.
An unveiling.
That many of you are none the wiser to that is right under your earlobes every single week if you listen regularly. And we are going to let the cat out of the bag.
Strip naked.
Yeah.
Strip naked in front of you. Stand nude to be judged.
You probably never look at or listen to the show the same way again. And I'm not kidding. It's always going to seem a little different to you after next week.
Not true.
Well, I mean, it's going to seem different. I mean, you're going to imagine different things now.
That's actually probably true.
Brian and I do the show naked.
That's right.
Let's get to it, Brian. All that lead up, and I didn't even do the fan fiction. So thanks to Jordan and Mitch, both gave me fan flictions this week. A little bit of a mix up, which is fine. It just means double fan fiction. So here we go. Barbara O'Hearn on Facebook, she wrote to us letting us know that she's watched Mystified, documentary about Michael Hutchinson.
Oh, I saw that.
On Prime.
Hutchins.
Very good, but sad.
Oh, I want to see it.
I know Ball Brian likes music docs and NXS.
I don't like NXS. You're right about that, Barbara.
So what you said was you want to see it.
Yeah.
I heard you say you did
No, I want to see.
I had fear.
I want to see. Where is it streaming? Where is this available? Where did she see it?
I don't know. She watched it. She said she, on Prime, right there. It says it on Prime. I just read it.
Add to list.
I've been watching HBO. HBO's The Outsider. I think this is still Barbara. Starring Ben Mendelsohn and Jason Bateman. I'm up to episode 7. It's slow burn, but Mendelsohn acts his ass off, as he always does. Well worth watching for his scenes alone. Dusty Stover on Twitter, The Death of Dick Long. It's an A24 film, and it's more of an Anderson movie that he will assign Brian, which means it's probably disturbing and upsetting. It is on my list of movies that I'm going to catch up with. And Obi Rusty, I'm going to guess, on Twitter also said Death of Dick Long.
I have to rent this, Mystify.
Death of Dick Long. Obi Rusty's watching. They played it straight, and I felt empathy for the characters. Josh Butler finally watched Dr. Sleep. Josh says he was not looking forward to it, but he was blown away by how much he liked it. Me too. Exact same thing.
I was very surprised.
The way the director made it a pretty faithful adaptation while also making it a sequel to The Shining was really impressive. I was very pleasantly surprised. I'm switching from first person to third That's person nice. Here, and it's very confusing. Brennan Snyder, he wrote the past week, We Live in Public. Oh, yes. Do you remember We Live in Public? Yeah. I was high on We Live in Public years and years ago. We Live in Public. I can't believe I didn't know about any of this. The main subject is an eccentric 90s internet pioneer, and where it goes is just crazy. Absolutely true. Like, it's shocking to me that this movie is not just a staple and like a household name.
Yeah,
because it's crazy.
He's not likable, as I recall.
Very unlikable. Mm. But every turn is like, what the fuck? And he invented reality TV, but the TV and the reality was his life and his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's got a big brother of one.
He really wanted everyone to see his every action, including live streaming cameras inside the toilet. It's not enough to have it in one in the bathroom, but inside the toilet? Do we need?
It was a little too much.
So Brendan goes on to say, it's just crazy. The only thing holding this back is some weird tonal issues towards the end. Still a big recommend. Available on Prime. That is We Live in Public. And then finally, Josie Colgan, most notable this week was Funny Games, the U.S. version. One of the nastiest films I've ever seen. Enjoyed it. And enjoyed isn't the right word, but it was certainly an experience. Naomi Watts was fantastic in it. Absolutely. I've seen both and talked about both numerous times because both also directed by the aforementioned Michael Haneke, who did Amore.
Is it a Haneke?
Haneke.
Okay. I was getting that wrong.
Yeah, you haven't seen Funny Games?
No, you threatened to assign it to me several times. You've threatened to assign it to me several times.
How could you not?
Did Haneke do the both the American and the foreign?
Yeah,
version?
He did both, which is fairly rare. Did we do top five home invasions? We must have.
I think we did.
And that probably came up there. I would have
I'm
to.
I'm sure
come
mine
up
was
there.
Home Alone, Home Alone 2.
God, you're hard to work with. You're so hard to work with. Speaking of hard work,
would you like to know?
Speaking of
Mystify, Michael Hutchins, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So there's three people that
35 reviews.
All right, it's because he killed himself. Yeah,
we may have to see that soon. We may have to see it.
You can see Music Docs on your own and not make me come along. Why do you always make me come along, Brian?
Well, it'll only be rented, so you'll watch it at home.
Hey, for our Patreon listeners, I want to let you know that I spent the better part of not true, but I spent parts of yesterday and today cobbling together. The first time that we ever recorded on the orange couch. And it's very confusing because I don't think it was an official
proper episode.
It wasn't an official orange couch episode. It might've been like a test run. It might've just been for our old
feed.
That
sounds familiar.
But we did top five Oscar preview, Oscar locks essentially for 2010.
Before we called it Oscar locks.
Yeah. For 2010, a lot of anger about Precious and Avatar.
You know, I thought Precious was a good movie. You like Precious?
Well, it was up for best editing, okay. And I'm very upset about that, amongst many other things. And it's back in a time when I was still just, I love talking movies, but I hated the show, and I hated being part of the show, but I was willing to do it because I got to talk about movies, and I could see like how it might lead to something like this. So I did it, but begrudgingly, I just want to punch myself throughout. But hey.
You weren't alone.
Yeah, I know. Well aware. So I'm going to be posting that probably. It's probably already up there on the Patreon. And for the sake of completion, every single show that we've ever done will be up in that archive. It's just taking a little longer than the normal because I have many other things. But, hey, Brian.
Hey.
This is the first one that you did since the... So you did the last... I posted the last one, which was the 97 One Days.
Okay.
Where, strangely, at the very... Towards the end of that, you wished cancer upon yourself.
I definitely did one more episode with you and Miss Movies called Top 5 Feel Good Movies.
Yeah, and then we did that one, which I plugged or talked about last week because I released both of those. So we have the pre-cancer one, and then 5 weeks later, we have
mid-treatment.
The post-cancer or got cancer. And then there's probably about 8-9 months of no Brian.
I can tell you exactly how long it was because we recorded it right after I was diagnosed. So that would have been like May, mid to late May of 2009.
And the one that I'm going to be posting right now that's already posted.
It's probably May 2010. April 2010?
It's March because it's right before the Oscars. So it was like March 1st.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, so it was just under a year.
Film Vault almost died in between those. Brian almost died and the Film Vault almost died. I kept the show going and I didn't realize how many episodes, but I did like, I think 7 or 8 episodes with Miss Movies and Mike Carano, and Brian never listened to one of those. He doesn't need to. He just needs to take my word for it that every episode I'm saying Mike Carano's here keeping the seat warm for you. And we had a very small audience at that point.
It's very easy to insert that later. It's very easy to just splice that in later.
Why would I even bother to do that?
Just to keep up this insane lie.
And at one point, Brian's heard about it and was very, very sick and on his deathbed and hating me, saying, how could he? And thinking the wrong thing. And
I was hoping those were my last words. I wanted it on my tombstone.
I know Christy was saying, hey, you will never, ever work with Anderson again. How horrible of a person.
Christy had no idea who you were.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not
true. She had no idea who you were.
That's not true.
She didn't. She I've heard stories. On a radar.
That's not true.
You heard stories.
I've heard stories.
Remove.
Oh, yeah. Take a guess. Take a wild guess.
Me or Christy?
Who might have talked to Christy? Who knows? All right. Anyways, she was quoted as saying, "Oh yeah, Anderson, Brian will not be working with him again."
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Yeah. Look at this.
Absurd.
So, anyways, that's a fun little. I'm going down memory road. It's a painful memories, and
this is enjoyable.
Yeah. So those will be all right for the Patreon. There you go. All right. Here we go. And we say so many just stupid, lame things that I would never dream of saying, but
I never said a stupid thing in my life.
We've grown. We've grown. Probably we've grown as people. We've adapted to the ways of society.
Have we?
We try.
Let's talk about some movies.
Let's do that.
Let's talk about some movies that we've seen. Oh, Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
This could be the most controversial Flickfessions of all time.
Excited. Are you going to Flickfest a movie you haven't seen? Because that'd be controversial.
Oh, no. I will Flickfest a movie I have seen. The most controversial... What is the most controversial film we've Flickfest to this point?
Controversial how?
Just would rub people the wrong way. Maybe has been banned in certain areas, certain countries.
Hmm. I mean, we didn't do Ken Park. We didn't do that one that was like at the Palm Springs Film Festival last year about the white guy pretending to be a black woman or black man. I forget what it was.
Offensive.
I don't know. Irreversible is like up there. You know, that's
okay. That's not that controversial.
Kind of notorious.
Controversial.
Somewhat controversial. I don't know. What do we watch as controversial? We don't really watch controversial movies. The movies aren't controversial anymore.
I'll get to that in a minute. First, let's just start off with a bang, Anderson. Literally, you and I were assigned a film by one Geo.
No, you have it all wrong. What? You have this all fucked up. We're not doing this till next week because I didn't watch it. You assigned me a movie, remember? We're all over the place. You assigned me a movie.
Yeah, but I thought that... Okay.
This week, there's no payoff for gambling because I already know that. So we're doing it next week.
Well,
all right?
I only have two movies then. Shit.
That's fine. No one expects more than that from you.
I think it was one of my new resolutions. I was going to try and do three movies a week. Anyway, shit.
Well, I mean, you saw it. Right, maybe you can come back with four.
Last Action Hero next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. People are sitting on pins and needles.
I know.
I'm going to hate it because Giovanni
got to... You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, you're for a treat.
Giovanni got to sign us a movie, and he really talked it up in an email, just talking about how it's as funny as Popstar. He said there's as many jokes as Popstar, and it's just nonsense. All right, Gio oversold it, I'm sure. Sorry.
Gio oversells everything. He definitely did. However, I will say this for Last Action Hero, which I did see, and we'll flip past next week.
He's just enthusiastic. He's not overselling. He's giving his actual opinions on things.
There are...
They just don't match up with most people.
There are...
As far as enthusiasm.
You tell me what you think once you see it, but we'll talk about it next week. But I'll tell you this. There are the elements and the bones of a good movie in here. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many, many, many problems.
All right, we'll talk about
it
next week. What are you doing? Huh? All right. Where's the controversy? Was that it?
No. No.
Get to controversy, Brian. I want to hear controversy.
First, cleaning up my Sundance preview from last year. I've seen four out of the five. Number three on last year's Sundance preview list.
You're talking about 2019 Sundance?
Yeah.
Over a year ago?
Well, some movies don't come out for a long time. This one just came out.
Mm. What is it, Brian? Please tell me.
Memory.
Memory.
Origins of Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Memory. Yeah. Origins of Alien.
Or is it streaming somewhere?
This is, you can rent this. I had to rent it on Amazon. Anderson,
Worth it.
Yeah. It's really good. But I'll clarify and say that it's for a certain audience. So Memory Origins of Alien is a documentary directed by Alexander O'Philippe. Mm-hmm. If you know that name, he directed 7852, which you and I enjoyed to varying degrees. Found interesting.
Yeah, it's a three-star movie.
Philippe himself is sort of fulfilling a niche for film lovers. He like does these deep dives into iconic movies / scenes, and this is no different. This is a very academic and philosophical look at Alien. Mm. It talks about it's not a making of. It's not like a behind the scenes. There's a few there's a little bit of Tom Skerritt in there, and like they're talking to the. It focuses very heavily on the screenwriter Dan O'Bannon. Starts off with him, and it's very heavy on him for the first third of the documentary. And it talks about.
Does it talk about the original title at all?
It does.
Starscream?
No. It was like, fuck, what was it?
Because I learned about that. I read about that somewhere. And then people were like, I've never heard that before. I think you're making it up. And I'm no, I am.
It was like Star Beast.
Star Beast. Can you imagine that? There's no way it would have been successful.
Oh, no, absolutely not. This movie could have gone off the rails.
Star Beast.
This movie could have gone off the rails so many times. So originally, Dan O'Bannon, the screenwriter, was going to collaborate with Jodorowsky on Dune.
And that
fell apart. So Dan O'Bannon's like, fuck that. I'm going to write this sci-fi. But he'd have been involved in like some sci-fi comedies. He's like, fuck this. I'm going to do like a sci-fi like thriller. Mm. And that's where he got really influenced by like H.P. Lovecraft, of course. And the story origins are like in comic books. He talks about like old comics and old serials and stuff that like where there's an element of this and an element of that. Dan O'Bannon borrowed freely from, from a lot of different sources to make this fantastic property. They even get into like parasitic wasps, like how there's like these, like there's like a million
based
species
in biology.
There's American,
sense.
There's a million species of parasitic wasps that lay their larva inside of like
tarantula wasp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they specifically find tarantulas and lay their eggs inside the tarantula. Tarantula cruises around for a while until it bursts inside of it and eats it. Same thing with caterpillars, I guess. But the idea of a tarantula is just
that's pretty gross. But it's true to its title, like the origins of Alien. Like it gets into like the mythology behind like Egyptian mummies and temples. Originally, it wasn't going to be a spaceship they happened upon. It was going to be a temple. It talks about Walter Hill was originally attached to direct. And he was like, I don't really believe in this project. And then Ridley Scott, who was a commercial director at that time, was like, and someone referred to him as the most visionary director, or the most visual director since Kubrick in his prime, which I have to say
They kind of traded. Like the countries kind of traded too. Like Kubrick went over there, and then we got the Scott brothers.
Yeah,
we got two for one. It was a three player trade there.
They also talked about it was a reflection of the 1970s. You know what I mean? How women were being repressed and their fight for equality and Watergate and Vietnam, blah, blah, blah. It's very academic. It's very heady. It's very philosophical. It's not for everyone. If you're a casual movie fan or you don't even think Alien's all that great or you just don't care, I wouldn't recommend this for you.
If you don't think Alien's that great, it sounds like you come on the other side of this one and appreciating it a whole lot more than you did. Right?
I would say that's very accurate. I wouldn't go out on a limb and say spend $3 to watch this about something you're interested
in. Hulu next week, probably.
But if you are a real film nerd, if you love Alien, this I spent the money and didn't even think about it.
A high roller, bro.
That's a really good point. But I was very happy I saw Memory Origins of Alien. Really good deep look at not just the making of, that's like a very small part of it, but also like the mythology and the philosophy. And it's
you take a look at this Dan O'Bannon's title credits?
No, I don't know anything else about him.
You got to stop with the... You got to stop it.
Sorry about that. Mouse is dying.
You got to stop. Is that why mouse is dying?
If you can hear my throat, I've got a cold.
Is it from chemo? No, but you're always doing the...
It's zinc lozenges.
You love to do that. It's like week in, week out.
True.
You got a metal straw, Brian, really? It's saving some dolphins over there?
Oh, yeah, man.
I
bought like an 8-pack of metal straws. I love these.
Here, the woman that died from falling on the stairs
went right through.
Yeah. All right. Here's Dan O'Bannon's the things that he's credited with on IMDb since writing Alien 79. Then he did Phobia, Dead and Buried, Heavy Metal. Ooh, Heavy Metal. Blue Thunder TV series. I'm going somewhere. Life Force, The Return of the Living Dead screenplay, and then here it comes: Aliens, Total Recall, Alien 3. Alien 3 video game.
I assume a lot of that is.
Oh, I see. Screamers. Yeah, that's what it is. Cause there's so much. Alien Night Shift based on the character. It's all based on the characters. I thought he was just making a full living. Okay, never mind. Ignore everything I just said. All right.
I would recommend this for you, Anderson. You would like it.
I saw a movie.
It's a little bit like Room 237.
I was going to bring that up.
Deep dive. And it's not as conspiracy theory-ish, but it's a lot of like, this little element
is
pulled from like the Greek Chorus. Or this element is pulled from, I think it's Francis Bacon. Anyway, this artist or it's pulled from this mythology.
Room 237, I don't think you actually see the people that are being interviewed, do you?
Yes, you definitely do, because some of them are kooky.
Yeah, they're kooky, but I thought you just kind of hear their voices. I'm wrong.
I don't think they're... prominently featured, but they're in there.
A
for
number
sure.
of talking heads on this one, or are they identifiable? There's a few enough that you're like, oh, here comes this guy again. Oh, she knows what she's talking about. Glad she's back.
Everyone,
on
well, okay, so the, everyone's credited for Ben Mankiewicz is in this one. There's a couple of USC professors. There's
okay.
Well, these are academics. You know what I mean? It's not just telling stories about the movie. It's like it's really in depth, insightful analysis.
Sounds nerdy.
It is extremely nerdy, which is why I'm warning people.
Come to daddy.
Tell me more.
Come to daddy.
Tell me more.
There's a man named Ant Timpson. Ant Timpson made a movie. That movie is called
Come to Daddy. Come to Daddy.
You familiar with Come to Daddy?
You've talked about it. I've heard you say that in that voice now a number of times.
It's directorial debut for Ant. He's produced other movies such as Turbo Kid, which a lot of people told me I have to watch. I've been actively avoiding that for years now. I will watch that one day. Written by Toby Harvard. I don't know why I'm boilerplating this for you. It's not that important.
That sounds really fascinating.
Come to Daddy stars Elijah Wood and Stephen McCaddy. Those are the two names you really need to know here because they are, it's almost like a two-hander. So the story is this. There's a young lad, and his name is Elijah Wood. In this movie, he goes by Norval Greenwood.
Okay.
And we just kind of see him on his way pretty much almost to the doorstep. I think, you know, it's a couple buses. Doorstep of his dad's house, which is this beautiful looking. He says Norval says that it looks like a spaceship from the 60s.
I want to look up Come to Daddy.
And I thought that's what you were doing on your phone, but it turns out you're texting people on your phone, which is very rude. It's very disrespectful. If I was your professor, I'd probably take a ruler out or at least confiscate your phone.
Go over right and wrap my knuckles.
I'd at least confiscate that device.
How do they work it now with devices in school? Like, to kids, like, they can't have them out, can they?
No, of course not. You can't have
them. Because they end up like this.
Come to daddy.
So, Norval is, we soon learn that he's going to see his dad, who he hasn't seen since he was like 5 years old. Mm. And he got a letter from his dad saying, hey, I'd love to see your son. It's been a long time. There's a lot I want to say to you. So he goes out to see his dad. And his dad is Stephen McCaddy, who you might know. Actually, you probably want to, but
Stephen McCaddy.
The biggest one that I've seen him in was Pontypool. He's also in The Fountain, but we don't talk about that movie. Pontypool, which was a great movie. A very interesting movie.
He's 75 years old. He's been in 1,000 things.
Yeah, he's been 1,000, but he's rarely a lead. And he's essentially a lead here.
I know. I want to see what he's known for. What do you think he's known for on IMDb?
I'm looking at his IMDb right now, and I already said Pontypool, which he stars in. He's the lead in Pontypool. Which is about...
he's in Pontypool. Mm.
So,
he's in Watchmen.
Elijah Wood is like his son, right?
He's Hollis Mason.
And they're trying to get to know each other, and it's awkward, and it's strange. And Elijah Wood is he's got a creepy little mustache. He looks more pedophilic than ever. And it's really interesting the way that they wrote his character to not be all that likable. Mm. I can't talk more about this movie other than it made me laugh a number of times. It made me do this, Brian, because I should also say this is like a horror thriller, some very gory elements, but it's
described as a comedy horror.
Yeah, it's not done in like it's realistic, but it's not done to make you cringe. However, there are cringe. There's one violent scene towards the end where I went,
no,
like that was my reaction when I was watching it.
Twitch.
Didn't look away. I don't look away because then I feel like I didn't actually experience the movie. So I forced myself to look. I might squint a little, but I went, like, I didn't want to see it plunging as far as it did. And it plunged, Brian. It plunged.
I don't like this.
So there's twists. There's turns. There's many, many. I can't say anything other than it's got David Lynchian properties to it. And I really like that. And it's one of the cardinal rules in screenwriting that you don't write just for the sake of you don't go left field just for the sake of going left field. However, when it works, and I really like it when characters have little quirks. There's a cop involved at one point, and he's talking about raisin eyes, and he believes him because he don't have those raisin eyes. And it's like, where the fuck is this coming from? Why is it coming from anywhere? And I don't want to talk. Why don't you like it? Why are you texting? I'm gonna confiscate.
I'm looking at movies.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna confiscate, Brian. Michael Smiley, who you might know, kind of steals the show once he shows up.
You guys got to see this movie. It's really up my alley. It's my kind of movie, and I really enjoy that Come to Daddy. God, I wish it was streaming on a platform right now, and I'd say take a swing. I think you might be able to rent it as early as right now. I know it's still in a couple theaters. I was hoping to go, like, you know, because there's not much out right now. I was hoping to go wide, but it's a fun thrill ride.
Oh, so this is in theaters?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Okay, so I didn't know if you said it was streaming or if it was in theaters.
Come to Daddy. A very worthwhile. What's scary, Brian, is everyone can make a fucking movie now.
Tell me
about
it.
It's just like every like
Grouper's available now.
Movie I see, it's just like, that's a quality movie, and that person's never made a movie before. Like, everyone's just making quality movies. It's, you don't see like shit B movies anymore. It's like no one has an excuse to make a shit B movie anymore. I guess there's plenty of them out there. They just never get distributed.
They're intentionally schlocky, though. Nah, you know what I mean?
I think a lot of people probably swing for the fences, and they just never get enough interest for it to actually get released. Because there's probably, you know, well over, like, you know, 2,000 movies, maybe 3,000 movies made every year. There might be as many as like 5,000 movies. There's one knows.
Most we'd ever hear of.
No one knows, but there could be as many as 5,000 feature films. I think what I read was there's anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000.
I wonder
feature films made every year.
There's probably no way to say this definitively. I wonder what the most obscure movie like an A-list star has been in. Like was shot and not finished, or shot and not released. You know, it's like in someone's library.
Yeah.
When I say someone, I mean like a, you know, small studio. Or
I mean,
something.
Even directors. Like people don't realize that Oliver Stone made a movie called The Hand, and it starred Tattoo from Fantasy Island.
I did not know that.
I saw it on VHS when I was a nerd. Yeah. Anyways, Come to Daddy. It's a fun one. I wish it was playing right down the street from you or available, because I think a lot of you are going to like it. It's a fun one.
How many more films do you have? I have only one, and mine's controversial. I kind of want
to
finish.
All right, let me get to this. I'm going to do this one really quick. Okay. I can't do all three right now.
Do it.
Okay. Pain and Glory. Brian, what are you doing?
I give you a choice.
What are you doing?
I give you a choice.
I'm not going to watch Claws. In February.
Claws is awesome.
I'm not going to watch it. Not in February.
Christy and Tessa watched it. They were in tears.
Yeah, they watched it over the Christmas vacation.
They watched it literally 2 days ago.
That's stupid. This is Pain and Glory was up for one Academy Award. I hope no more than two. Oh, it was up for two. It was up for best foreign language, best international film.
You didn't like this movie?
This is elevated Spanish soap opera, which is elevated. I said elevated. All right, that's all of his work. All of his work is so quiet and subtle. It's about the people. It's about the performances.
Del Toro?
I'm talking about Pedro Almodóvar.
I always get that wrong.
And stop it. And it's starring Antonio Banderas, and Penelope Cruz is also in here a little bit.
I like this co-star. I like this star. I like that guy.
So it's the story of a. It's very like auto fiction, as they even allude to in the movie, in the text of the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's another one of these Pedro, who's probably the most celebrated Spanish filmmaker from Spain that we have working today. Mm. And there's only one movie that I liked a lot of his that I've seen, and that's The Skin We Live In. Like, it was so fucking bizarre, and I loved it. I had no idea it was going to go down that road. No idea. I don't think anyone did, including him. I think he might have had some manatees involved.
Did he do Abres los Ojos? Open Your Eyes, The Villainous Guy, original?
No. No.
God damn it. I'm always so bad with these.
So it's about language directors. A lot of it I should have loved, because it's about an Asian director. Yep. Who with a back scar, not that dissimilar to mine. That's mine's right. Mine's worse. Mine's bigger and goes in multiple directions, but he's got a lot of pain, and it's played by Antonio Banderas, and then it recounts his life through flashbacks and how I thought it was going to go down a real pedophilic road, and I was concerned about that it was going to be celebrated.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
Not unlike Call Me By Your Name kind of was a couple of years ago, even though he was supposed to be of age, but I don't think he was. And I'm like imagine if that was a girl, like, would it be cool? But because it's a guy, it's like everyone's like, I was afraid it was going to go down. It almost did. It kind of alluded to it, but it didn't. But there's some scenes where, like, he's teaching the older guy to read and write when he was a little kid, and that kid was great. I really liked the kid, and it was touching and cool how he was like a little kid was teaching an older guy how to read and write. The whitewasher Antonio Banderas being up for best actor here, kind of absurd. Kind of a fucking absurd. He didn't do much at all. He walked stiff.
No, he was good.
He walked stiff, and he was Antonio Banderas. He was more impressive in Doolittle.
Stop it.
He made out with a guy, and I think that's what might have pushed it. Oh, so brave. Did you, so brave.
Did you remind you of Mike Carano at all?
No, not at all. I loved his green leather jacket. That's my maybe my takeaway from this movie. Towards the end, he's wearing a green leather jacket. Oh, I need to have that jacket. I should have one of those one day. And the very last shot, if you recall, do you remember the very last shot without giving it away? Do you remember what happens there? Kind of a bit of a reveal, pulls back, and you see things that you're not supposed to see necessarily usually, but you're seeing them.
No. What was it? Tell me.
I'll tell you. Spell it. But you're seeing stuff. You're seeing elements. You're seeing like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Upset me greatly, Brian, because it's not spot on exactly the way that one of my scripts, the one of the ones that I want to do next, ends, but it's very similar. Mine's more involved. More involved, Brian. I'm serious, though. It is. But it's very similar. And it's like, fuck, I need to start making shit because that's always one of my biggest concerns is like, I'm going to see something that I wrote that I think is really original and then it shows up somewhere else. And I'm like, ah, there goes that fucking idea.
Well, not a lot of people saw this.
It's not protected until it's out there. You have no idea. Every movie I saw before Groupers got released, I was going, please don't be a dick trap. Please don't. Every movie.
were you okay in the end?
But Pain and Glory is not my type of movie. Heavy melodrama. Heavy melodrama.
Yeah, in some respects. But in other respects, like I really liked his interaction with the star, like there's a relationship where it was
I didn't care for it. I didn't care.
Really?
Yeah. And he sees his old lover. I don't care. I was unmoved. And then he's like smoking heroin. And I was like, why? I don't care. Smoke heroin or don't. I didn't like how he was able to just stop because like I know I wouldn't have been able to. And I'm like, fuck you for not being an addict.
Were you driving an RV when you were watching this?
The RV's next week, Brian. Okay. Are we doing top five RV scenes? Because, I mean, it's right there.
Not bad.
It's right there. All right. And I really like the next movie that I want to talk about.
Talk about.
Talk to Her by Pat. No.
You finally saw it.
I think I might have. Oh, no. I saw All About My Mother, and I was also very bored by that. These just aren't my movies. I know. Once again, like I was talking about earlier, Brian.
Why do you hate
He made the movie. He made the movie he wanted to make. And, good for him. He didn't make it for me. I had no interest in watching this movie. Didn't care. Pain and Glory. I saw a movie, Brian.
Let's hear it.
Before your controversy. I don't want this to get lost in like the controversy and me doing three fucking movies in a row. There's a movie that's streaming right now on the Hulu. No, it's on Prime. Prime?
I've seen this.
Her Smell.
What's it called?
Her Smell.
Her Smell.
Her Smell. Okay. This was written and directed by. Oh, I should also point out Pedro. The one movie that I love of his, he didn't write. Coincidence? Oh. He didn't write it, though.
Why'd he hit Hispanics?
The Skin I Live In.
Why'd he hit Hispanics?
I think it was a Hispanic who wrote The Skin I Live In. But that's the only... Also starring Antonio Banderas. All right, back to Her Smell. Written and directed by Alex Ross Perry.
Where do you know Alex from?
Starring Elizabeth Moss. Alex Ross Perry, the most accessible movie... He doesn't make accessible movies. The most accessible movie he may have made is Listen Up, Philip. I would guess he also did Queen of Earth that I talked about a couple years ago.
He wrote Christopher Robin.
The Color. Yeah, that's a that's a left field. The Color Wheel,
it's
which
payday right
is
there.
Really, really hard to look at. Really hard to watch. Really hard to get through. Not accessible at all. Listen Up, Phillips. Hilarious. I think you would love parts of it. It's got shades of Squid and the Whale.
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman is just despicable, but hilarious. As a, and we're not talking about that movie. We're talking about Her Smell.
Her Smell.
Okay. What do you think of that Elizabeth Moss?
I like her. She gets around.
Rude.
I know, but I mean, like, she's in a lot of movies.
She's in a lot of stuff. Yeah. She's in Handmaid's Tale, which I've not seen, but I heard great things about. I've been in the room when it's been on, and the wife explains to me what's happening, and I half listen because I don't like to, come in halfway through a series. But
I have liked her in almost everything I've seen her in. I haven't seen her in too many starring roles, but she's doing The Invisible Man coming out soon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be seeing her this Thursday. Okay. Unfortunately, we already recorded next week, so The Invisible Man will have to wait a week, but maybe I'll do some stuff on the old Insta. I'll do it for the gram.
The film on Insta?
As the kids say. Nice. Okay, Her Smell. The fact that this woman was not nominated for an Academy Award... For this role, Brian, not only is it...
Have you heard of the movie? I had not heard of the movie.
It's been on my list for a while. I've been meaning to get to it. And honestly, coming in at 2 hours and 16 minutes, and I didn't even tell you what it's about. It's about an aging female lead singer in a rock band with some pretty dire drug addiction. And I know of Alex Ross Perry's previous work. He also directed her. This isn't the first time they worked together in Queen of Earth, which was a difficult one to get through. Hold on. Okay. But I wasn't looking forward to 2 hours, 15 minutes of a guy who doesn't make very accessible work. we've all seen the story of the rock star who's gone, you know, burned too bright.
Oh my God, it's a cliche. Yeah, exactly.
He made a cliche movie. Mm. He wrote and directed this cliche movie, but it's completely different vibe, completely different theme. Right. It does not work without her. So it's a lot of very long scenes where it's backstage and we're just with her and her bandmates, and she is fucking out of her mind on drugs, and is the most realistic depiction. The look on her face, she's been up for 3 or 4 days doing blow and crank and drinking. I mean, I think it's not only the best female performance I saw from last year, Brian, it's some of the best acting I've ever seen in my life. I kept thinking of that little girl in talking to Descartu in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was the best acting I have ever seen.
That's right.
And I kept hearing her say that in my head because I was blown away by her performance.
Where can one see this?
Amazon Prime. It's streaming. It's not for everyone. He uses some. So here are some of my notes. Fuck, I love this movie. I really like this movie.
Oh man, would it have made your Vivaldi's list?
It might have just cracked the top 10. I didn't really enjoy it while I'm watching it. It's one of these movies, but I can't stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. There's an uncut shot of her singing a Brian, the Heaven Song by Brian Adams.
Oh, now I'm in.
Oh, it's uncut. And she just sings the whole thing at a piano.
That was my first dance at the wedding.
I could see that.
Yeah, I love that song.
I should also say this is a 90s movie. You can't help but think of Courtney Love. I'm sure that, you know, she was a bit of an inspiration. The sound design that he's using in this. Mm. But her character is fucking hilarious too, as tragic as she is. She's so over the top. She has like, just one of her accessories is the shaman that just kind of follows her around. So she's backstage fighting with her band members and stuff. And there's this shaman. There's this like witch doctor dude with sage. Who's just like walking around her, but it's not played for laughs. It's like real. It's like, he's actually doing it. And he's like putting spells on her and other people. The fucking reality was scary.
Actually, I think this is actually streaming on HBO, and I think it's streaming on the HBO.
Yeah, it's HBO. That's right.
Amazon
through. So if you have HBO, which you should just for Succession,
it's a 99-cent rental on Amazon. So fucking buck up.
I'm blown away, and it's one of those movies. It's an investment because it's not going to be a fun watch. It's going to be a riveting watch if you appreciate really good acting. She's just unbelievable.
This is something.
And I'm listening to the music. And you know what I was thinking too? Like, these movies that have music involved, I wasn't in love with these songs that she sings, but like some of them are available on iTunes, so I've been listening to them. And it's kind of unfair. Like if Hedwig and the Angry Inch didn't have the soundtrack and I didn't love the soundtrack and continue to live the movie after the movie was over through the soundtrack, I probably wouldn't like that movie nearly as much. So it's almost like a little parlor trick.
Yeah, it lives on for, has a life of its own.
Yeah. I wish her cover of that Bryan Adams song was on iTunes.
Is that on there?
I'm sure it's on YouTube. I would imagine it's on YouTube, but it's touching. It's heartbreaking. And it's a story that we've seen a number of times, but it's told differently. Like there's a book that my son loves The Grumpy Monkey, right? That's all he wants to. He wants The Grumpy Monkey.
It's a classic. Yeah.
Guaranteed. Right now, my wife is probably reading him The Grumpy Monkey at home. I read it to him every other night. And it's the same story about chimpanzee who's having a bad day. The sky is so bright. The sky's too bright. The sun is too bright. The sky is too blue. And the bananas are too sweet. But I read chimpanzee like this. I am not grumpy. I'm not a grumpy monkey.
You're killing that chimpanzee.
And my wife reads it very differently, right? And that's like kind of like what directors' stories are like. We've seen the same story, but a different director will give it a completely different tone and vibe and make it almost seem like it's a whole new story. So that being said, what are you doing here? You're pulling a wire.
I found heaven.
Oh, you found it? You want to play it? You want to play a little bit of it? I don't know if it might ruin the vibe, because it's a different version of her.
So what?
Of her story arc.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? What's that bad?
Because, I mean, she's on heavy drugs throughout much of the movie, and she's not in this part.
That's all right.
All right. You're saying it's all right? You haven't seen the movie?
I just want to hear a beautiful version of heaven. The one that we had for our...
Will you talk into the microphone, please? Will you talk... I should also, I don't know if it's worthy of mentioning, but Elizabeth Moss apparently very heavily involved in the Scientology program over there. And that's one of the reasons why we don't ever see her on the late night shows, I guess.
Ask her about that?
They're rarely on those shows.
We're listening a little bit of Elizabeth Moss.
All right, here we go. I have it up. Yeah, we don't have time for the whole song.
Thinking about there was only you and me.
Great song.
We were young and wild and free.
It's heartbreaking too when you watch this.
Now nothing can take you away from me.
Oh, I love it. I think I love this movie. See, it's unfair though, right? Because it's like earworms, right?
Yeah, they stick with it. They get in there.
It's not an on and pop and crackling. It doesn't go down smooth, I can tell you that. But there are scenes, many scenes.
Baby, you're all that I
and she's just, she's just destroying everyone's life that's around. Like her manager, Eric Stoltz plays her manager.
Oh, wow.
Eric Stoltz.
Stoltz is back.
Stoltz is back. Yeah, I highly recommend checking in on her smell. Yeah. Give it a shot. Take a look at it. The 2 hours, 15 minutes
that was nice.
A real barrier to entry, but
check it out.
Her smell.
I like that. Hey, if it ends with a Bryan Adams cover of Heaven, I'm down.
It doesn't end with that. It's okay. In the movie. The little girl is a little stiff. Is it wrong to critique a child actor?
I'm about to do that right now, Anderson.
Oh, no.
Speaking of music, speaking of stiff child actors.
Oh, no.
Oh, what's the whole idea? But I'm not sure I have the thing right here because I want to give proper credit.
We're professionals.
I'm not even 100% sure this is right, but I'm pretty sure.
The sound that I made when I saw the thing plunge and come to daddy was.
Okay, I'm pretty sure.
My dog was actually very concerned when I made the sound because I didn't see it in theaters. I actually saw it at home.
We have a listener. Named Ben Sesto.
Ben, what's up?
Ben, I met on a few times. Corresponded him on Twitter a few times. Saw him on the Adam Carolla Show does a cruise every year, a fan cruise, and he was on the show. He was on the cruise, I should say. He's a big fan of the Film Vault. I tweeted you about this, and he hands me a disc.
Oh, what are you doing here?
He hands me a disc that's in a clearly burned disc with handwriting on it.
What are you doing?
You know what it said on it?
What?
Song of the South.
Uh huh.
Song of the South, 1946, Disney animated live action feature. Have you seen Song of the South?
No, I don't need to see Song of the South.
You might need to see Song of the South.
I don't need to see.
You might need to see.
Can anyone see Song of the South?
Anyone who has a disc that's anyone in another country.
You know where I thought you were going? I thought you were going like he gave you like a movie or a song from his like daughter or something, and you were going to start ripping that, and I was going to be very upset. That was not your style at all.
No, it's not my style. He handed me Song of the South.
Why you got to highlight a horribly racist Birth of a Nation next week?
So let me tell you about Song of the South, because I had maybe seen it when it was re-released in 1986, but I was like 7 years old when that came out, and I don't really remember it. So let's talk about Song of the South for a second. Song of the South is a 1946 Disney film directed by Harve Foster and Wilford Jackson. This stars James Baskett as Uncle Remus. Now, you're going to want to hear some of this, Anderson. There's a complicated history with Song of the South. 50% of Rotten Tomatoes. People are divided. People at the time acknowledged, some of the white reviewers probably acknowledged that it was, delightful songs and a fun family time. And some of the black reviewers pointed out that this is a celebration of a history that doesn't really exist. This is not an accurate representation of the Reconstruction era of the Civil War, which is just afterwards. Did you know, Anderson, Song of the South, winner of not one, but two Oscars? Best song for, of course, Zippity Doodah.
I've seen the opening scene where he's like walking and there's the
That's
blue bird.
That's not the opening scene.
Oh, it's not?
So I'm going to get into that in a second. Special Oscar for James Baskett, who plays Uncle Remus. They gave him a special Oscar because he was so goddamn delightful. He wasn't up for Best Actor, but they're like, hey, you were so good and so enjoyable. Here's an Oscar. The first black man ever to win an Oscar for acting was James Baskett in Song of the South. This was never released on home video in the U.S. It is available almost everywhere else in the world. So if you have, you can probably rent it right now.
It's our filthy history, right?
It celebrates a period of time that's a little more complicated than Disney makes it out to be. Disney makes it out to be fairly idyllic, when in fact that really wasn't the case.
I mean, I've been on Splash Mountain a number of times.
That's also crazy. Like a lot of stuff from this movie exists, like Splash Mountain, and a lot of Disney stuff at Disneyland. You can see like Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Bear and all the little cast of characters. This was re-released theatrically several times.
It doesn't even show up on Just Watch.
You can't, not in the U.S. I think if you're in Canada or England or Australia or
any other
YouTube?
Country. You try it on YouTube?
That's actually a really good point.
I'd imagine it's on YouTube.
Disney is also extremely protective of their properties.
It is true.
So it would not surprise me if it could not get
true.
Them.
All right, go ahead. Continue.
This movie is filled with grotesque caricatures. Mm. Everyone is a grotesque caricature of someone from that era. Although that's nothing new for classic Disney, right? Everything in classic Disney is a grotesque character. You're the evil queen, or you're the bumbling king, or you're the fair uh-huh. princess. So that's not really nothing new. I will tell you what was shocking to me, and granted, this is a bootleg copy, and I accounted for that, but this is exceptionally cheap looking. Uh-huh. Like, this Disney really got away from animation. The shocking thing to me was that the animated parts that everyone knows, the Zippity-Doo-Dah and the birds and Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear and all that stuff, that is maybe 15% of the movie. 85% of this movie is this interminable, plot-heavy story of an uninteresting Southern family we couldn't care less about. Mm. It's like about this boy whose parents are separating, I guess, and he goes off to live on a plantation with his relatives, and he makes friends with a black boy. Then he meets Uncle Remus, the old black man who like tells stories about Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear. And the Brer Rabbit stuff is fun, admittedly. You're like, oh, this is like Looney Tunes. This is like enjoyable. But that is a very small part of the movie.
Why are we doing this? What's it for?
This is historically interesting to film fans, don't you think?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I like to talk about movies that people can watch.
Can it go on YouTube?
No, it's not. But clips on
wait,
YouTube.
Hold on a second. If you had come in talking about The Day the Clown Cried, that'd be interesting. I want to hear all about it.
I mean, I could do that. I could find that and do that. I don't talk about movies that like are.
Yeah, I understand you're very pure when it comes to that. But I'm.
Well,
I don't want to frustrate
people. I can get the disc, so you're talking to me. But like a lot of our listeners aren't going to be able. And I don't know if they should watch this because it doesn't sound like it's a good movie.
How many people do you know who've seen Song of the South?
Well, it turns out the people don't have like it written across their chest.
What I'm saying is, you've had a lot of conversations with a lot of friends about film.
Never come up.
That's my point. If I knew someone who'd seen The Day the Clown Cried, I'd be like, please tell me all about that movie.
I'd want to talk to somebody who's seen what's it called? The Hunt. What's it called? The one that got banned after the mass shooting.
Oh.
About the Republicans hunting the left wing people that get pulled out, kidnapped and then let free. Remember, there's trailers for it everywhere.
That's my next movie.
We never even mentioned it on the show because it wasn't the type of movie we would have covered anyways, probably.
Right.
But it was the full trailer. It was about to come out, and then one of the horrific mass shootings happened, and they're like, you know what? The studio's going to just bury this movie. It never got released. Never got released. So now absolutely.
This is an interesting. This every once in a while we will talk about a movie that will give a little glimpse into something that hey, this is interesting to people.
It's
see, but it's interesting.
But it sounds like it's not good.
Not only
no one can see it.
It's offensive, sure. I can see it would be.
So
offensive,
it was good to you,
but it's incredibly dull. It's incredibly.
So not only is
dull.
It poorly made, offensive. Unavailable
and
it's boring
and exceptionally boring.
Let's spend a lot of time.
It's also uncomfortable. There's like a tar baby that gets built.
Okay.
Uncomfortable.
All right. Comfortable for who?
I actually enjoyed that part. I actually said out loud because I was home alone. I was like, how long is this fucking movie?
Home Invasion.
I paused it to go to the restroom. I was 42 minutes into a 90-minute movie. It's fucking brutal.
I hate watching the clock. That's what I was doing with Pain and Glory. I was constantly watching that clock.
So fucking brutal. Song of the South. Do me a favor and don't ever see that movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty easy for most people to do.
Ooh. If Song of the South come out this year, it might have made my revolties.
Uh-huh.
The list. Next. Anderson, remember a few months back when we got like 50 LG TVs that got sold on our Amazon click-through banner? It turns out it was a listener who managed a hotel.
TCLs.
Did I say LG?
Yeah.
Oh, man, my brain.
Not Lucky Gold Stars, TCL.
Yeah, it was TCL TVs, Roku TVs. That's right, our beloved TCL TVs. And it turned out to be a listener who had ran a hotel. I think it was in Bend, Oregon, I want to say. It was in Oregon.
My guess was it was an OCD fella who only...
didn't like chin channels?
Yeah. So he has to have all the channels.
Well, your guess was wrong. It was a listener who ran a hotel in Oregon. And somebody, I have to assume it's the same listener or else it's a very sleepy dude, ordered 32 of MyPillow Classic Series, king size, medium fill. Probably, if it's the same
that's
same
the
listener,
OCD dude. That's like he can't use the same pillow for more than like three or four nights in a row. So that's right. Like his year's
worth
year
supply of pillows. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Other things purchased on the Amazon click-through banner that sits atop Anderson and Brian.com include an Arctic Air refrigerated countertop condiment prep station. This thing's pretty cool, Anderson. It's got like 8 condiment like holders, the refrigerated canisters, and if you need like if you're doing like a food truck, right? Or like or you're a barbecue or like you know some sort of snack shack.
Got some people over.
Yeah, exactly. Or yeah, you're making stuff at a high rate. You've got them all right there in front of you. Ninja Food 8-quart 9-in-1 Deluxe XL Cooker and Air Fryer. PlayStation 4 Pro 1-terabyte console. Brother Monochrome all-in-one wireless laser printer.
Brother Bear.
LG. Oh, this actually is LG. Electronics 29-inch ultra-wide IPS monitor.
I don't like that LG stands for Lucky Gold Star, but their motto is life is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's misleading.
Yeah, one or the other. Pick a lane, LG. A.O. Smith Seaface Pool Monitor. Pool Motor. Excuse me. Pool Motor. Amazon Basics Portable Air Conditioner. Somebody got 3 Philips Hue 40-watt dimmable smart bulbs.
Bulbs.
Somebody, I guess, subscribed to Amazon Music Unlimited. I know what that is. I guess that's their music.
It's like
service.
It's like Apple Music, but it's Amazon.
Oh, so it's probably got a year's worth because it was kind of expensive.
I use it quite a bit.
Oh, do you?
But they have like a free side.
Heaven by Elizabeth.
No, I use it to listen to the soundtrack for season 1 of Patriot.
That makes a lot of sense.
Season 1 of Patriot. All 15 minutes of the original music is on there, and it's phenomenal.
6 Ozenby LED grow lights. Yeah, bro. Air Care Whole House Evaporative Humidifier. Onnit New Mood Daily Stress Pills, as well as Onnit Alpha Brain Pills. Peltor. Sport tactical. Everything's tactical. Tactical hearing protector for shooting and hunting.
Sorry.
Fitbit Charge 3. 14 two-tone yellow gold Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. Oh, someone got that for Valentine's Day, I'm assuming. Thank you for clicking through and getting it.
Or Moon Day. We have a Moon Day. Moon, underappreciated.
We have a day forever.
The nights would be very dark without the moon.
Someone got 2 copies of Effective Modern C++, and someone got 2 copies of Effective C++, Bose SoundSport wireless headphones, 2 Best Office bar stools, and a Boss Office Products leather sideshare. See how I hit that post?
No. Oh. The post came out afterwards, and it was a little bit... That, you know that... You do?
Mm-hmm.
Like this was like a bunch of those.
Yeah, it was a bunch of those strung together. It was sloppy.
Sloppy. In the movies ever clicked through since the last time I talked at you. Zombieland, Double Tap. Click through. Boys in the Hood was clicked through, as well as Baby Boy.
Baby Boy.
Come to Daddy.
Yeah, so you can watch, you can watch Come to Daddy that way.
Okay.
You can rent it. Knives Out was clicked through, as well as 2 people got Ford vs. Ferrari. Jojo Rabbit was clicked through, as well as Ad Astra. The Peanut Butter Falcon. Phantom Thread. 3 Phantom Thread. 3 Huh? 3 colors. White. Which one did I see? Red?
We saw blue. You assigned me blue, and I've seen red.
No, you assigned me a blue. You assigned me one of them, for sure. League of Their Own. 3 people got Parasite, and 3 people got Groupers. Tight.
What is that?
I'm dead heat with Bong this week. Last week, you kicked my ass. Kicked my ass last week. All right. Thank you very much for clicking through, everybody, especially the guy that got all the pillows. Maybe he's making a sex chamber. Like a rough sex chamber.
Oh, like a soundproofing?
Mm.
Oh, that's probably smart. Yeah.
And for throwing, hurling bodies around. You don't want, bangs and bruises. Bangs.
Bangs.
Back to the problem.
Welcome back. Fucking do it, man. Revolty time. I like this. We should do it before the Vaulties, but this is a good list. I like this.
I think what we do next year is we do it, assuming that this goes all right. I saw someone on Twitter. This is why I don't look at Twitter. I don't like to hear voices. I'll be skipping this episode. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Because it's a spirited episode. Hey, I'd like to apologize to you about last segment. Hey, if you want to watch an obscure movie that no one else can watch, that's horribly racist and should be buried,
and you bring it to the program for a historical purpose. I understand that. It's not
curiosity.
Lost on me.
I'm not like recommending it to people. I'm saying, hey, I was the canary in the coal mine. I saw this movie. Here's what I saw.
There's a lot of racist canaries before you that were already in that coal
black
mine.
Canary,
and they're long dead.
Black canary.
It was one of my New Year's resolutions for the show, not to step all over things that I don't agree. We have a difference in difference of opinions. I believe I fucked it up that very episode, Brian, if you must know. But you know what? I'm not going to force my opinion on you more than I already do.
This is a lot.
So my apologies. Yeah.
Let's talk about the five worst movies you saw this year. How much crossover? We're going to have some crossover for sure.
Now, this is interesting also because all of these movies, looking at them, I had huge hopes. Well, not huge hopes, but I had hopes of all of them being good. I didn't, like I said in the early, also, I should say that screwed up a bit with weeks because I'm a little bit confused with everything going on. I thought that Invisible Man was actually coming up this Friday. It's not until next Friday, which is a bummer because that means that I'm going to have to watch Call of the Wild if I want to see something new this week, which is not really in the cards.
Why do you hate dogs?
I hate cartoon dogs, Brad. I hate Roger Rabbit dogs.
The dog is really convincing.
It's such a shame because that book made me cry.
People love that book. Christy loved that book.
It's a great book, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Never read it. Sorry.
Okay, all right.
My mouth is very dry.
Maybe you should just chew nuts and gum at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. Gummy nuts.
Gummy nuts.
Yeah, I had at least hopeful expectations for four out of my five movies. One of them, just the trailer would just look so bad, but at least had other things going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Did make it a good movie.
All right. Let's start. Where do we start?
We're in a lot of crossover, I think.
Okay. I didn't really do much research, and I have misgivings about this, especially being a being a filmmaker myself. It feels weird calling people out negatively that they're literally my peers, Brian.
You could say things like, it didn't work for me. I saw what you were going
that's
for.
That's so pretentious.
I saw what you were going for.
It didn't work for me. Yeah. It didn't work for me.
I see what you're going for.
Okay, well, number five for me.
Respect the journey. Yeah.
And I respect the journey. This is 6.9 on the old IMDb with over 20,000 votes. And, it's a popular popularity contest. I don't know if you saw this. You may have. I think you did. If.
Oh, no, I like this movie.
No.
You didn't like this?
Motherless Brooklyn, 2019. Brian, you are wrong.
Okay, I will.
Motherless Brooklyn.
If
his performance was not what it was, or if his character was removed somehow, or if his performance wasn't so much fun, this would be right towards the top of my worst movies from last year.
I agree with you in the sense that his performance was
Brooklyn,
far and away the best part.
Directed and written by Edward Norton, based on a book by Jonathan Lethem. Brian, this did not work for me.
So what are you going for?
So he plays the detective. I saw it with my buddy Rand, and we both agreed. It was just an actor's workshop. It was like actors acting, and it was like, I'm going to get all my friends together. Ed Norton, I like him as an actor a lot, and I root for him. And I want to, I wanted to love Motherless Brooklyn, his own thing. I know that one of his favorite movies is Midnight Run, one of my favorite comedies of all time. I was hoping for more of that. His character did deliver on the really fun, easy to watch. I was first 20 minutes of this movie, I'm like, I can't wait to watch this again. Like, that's rare. It's rare that I'm watching a movie already thinking about it. Can't wait to watch this again. Thinking I'm going to be quoting this character because he had Tourette's and he pulled it off in a very, very flavorful, fun to watch fashion. However, everything around him was so stale and boring. It made The Irishman seem fucking brand new, spanking new and shiny and original.
Yeah, I didn't mind this movie nearly as much as
felt
you
like
did.
A cliche of a cliche.
This was nowhere near my top five of the year, of course, but it's closer to my top five than it is to my bottom five.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wrong.
I'm wrong.
Absolutely wrong.
My opinion.
It's got such a. Bruce Willis, Willem Dafoe, Bobby Cannavale, Alec Baldwin. What's the guy that plays Seth in?
Ethan Suplee.
Yes, Ethan Suplee, like, acting his balls off. He's like, I'm unrecognizable. You won't recognize me as this sandwich eating guy.
It was very thin.
Nah, it's just, the whole thing was, it felt like an actor's workshop.
Yeah.
And
a
there's
good one.
What's funny too, going back to the way that I saw it with my buddy, because a lot of time I see movies by myself and I don't immediately start regurgitating grievances right afterwards. We both noticed one single shot, which is very odd. But we both zeroed in on one single shot and wanted to talk about what the fuck was that shot.
What was it?
There's a scene like they're innocuous, they're in a bedroom or something. And then they needed to get like to the next. There's obviously something missing that wouldn't have allowed it to cut together smoothly.
Okay.
So it did one of those like cutaways where it showed something in the room, but it was the most random, just like a corner of a bed or something.
I remember
for
that.
2 seconds, and then back to the scene. Obviously covering for some kind of issue that they needed a bridge.
Yeah,
and
have.
We were both, after the movie was over, we're like, what, did you notice that? What was that? What the fuck was, like a jump cut would have been so much better.
Yeah.
But who am I? All right. So I'm not.
I didn't think there'd be controversy in this episode.
Motherless Brooklyn.
Outside a song.
I also have a one on my also ran that I just want to talk about before the episode's over, which could have been on my top five favorites and could have been on it could have been on the Vaulties or the Revolties. It's nice. On neither.
What if a movie ends up on both of them 1 year?
I don't think mathematically it's possible.
Well, you put like 50 movies on your best of.
No, I do 10, bro. Okay. Like everybody else does.
Feels like a lot.
Well, I mean, you see over 200 movies in a year and, 180 of those are new movies. Like it's deserving of a 10.
We're going to have some crossover here. So if this is on your list later, we can talk about it later. But number five for me, very high expectations. In fact, I'm looking at my list. Maybe that number four.
I love this performance.
Highest expectations that were not met.
Mm.
The follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
To Get Out.
Mm.
Us.
Us.
Us was not good.
I got some thoughts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me. Do you want to save this for a little later? I don't want to step on your thunder.
Mm.
Us.
Brian,
is,
it's about the haves and the have-nots. You probably didn't get it.
My entire outlook on the film. Written and directed by Jordan Peele. Of course, his follow-up to his breakout directorial effort in Get Out.
You did not appreciate the performances.
Easiest money I ever made was placing a maximum bet on Lupita Nyong'o not being nominated for Best Actress.
What's going on with the Oscars and the opening number there, right, where she comes out and she's playing Mr. Rogers?
That's not Lupita Nyong'o.
No, it's not. It's what was her name? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the movies that were being displayed and depicted, represented by the dancers. Mm-hmm. A lot of Us. Us was being depicted left and right with the red jumpsuits. Everything but the giant scissors. I was expecting to see them with giant scissors like Big Lebowski. Why? The movie was not represented in the Oscars. So why would it be in the opening? Why would it be in the opening?
The only thing I think, and actually I'm on Box Office Mojo now.
And Midsommar got a lot of love in that opening bit too.
Was it one of the highest grossing films of the year? Because a lot of people saw it.
Yeah, maybe like they used to do. They used to just do like a really good montage of like all the biggest movies and just kind of like, wrap it all up. And they'd actually show clips of the movies. And sometimes they do some interactive stuff. But all right.
But like, it was like behind Jumanji, for example. Like, was Jumanji like an impactful movie?
I didn't see Jumanji.
Well, that's my point. It's like
Us was impactful. A lot of people believe that they like it.
Good or bad, it was a cultural, touchstone. It was easily parodied and it was talked about. So it was relevant,
mm-hmm.
But it was bad.
It was very ungood. Number four for me. I mean, I could have probably put this on the list before I even saw it. I always hold out hope that Godzilla is going to bring it home for me. But Godzilla, King of Monsters, was just a big mess. The director of Trick or Treat was hoping for big things. I was hoping for a new, fresh take. And it seemed like they just threw everything, including this kitchen sink, on that wall. And they were hoping things would stick. It was reminiscent of Transformers with the just confusion. And when we're talking about Mothra and some of the best.
Why did you say this?
I'm a creature feature guy. I love them. When done right, I really like it. And there was no, there wasn't really anything. Having those giant creatures fight one another should have been so much fun, and it was just annoying. Like, it was like a headache. It was just like too much.
Yeah.
And it was
Transformers.
It was so absurd with Vivica, what's her name, and Eleven from Stranger Things, like as her daughter, and she's a scientist, and she's like, "Look at this giant atomic being just got born, and it's ripping out of its. We have no idea what it's gonna do, but try and touch it." Like her daughter, she's like holding her daughter. Go ahead, try and touch it. Just from the get go, just absurd, asking me to I mean, I wouldn't believe it if it was in Japanimation. That would have been annoying. And it's live action. Just why?
Yeah, I have no...
Godzilla deserves a good movie.
Godzilla King of the Monsters was the 25th highest grossing film of the year. Mm-hmm. $110 million, including $10 of Anderson.
Is that just domestic or...
That's domestic. Domestic.
Yeah, I would imagine that it probably crushed overseas.
Although, yeah, right? Because Avengers Endgame, they have it here at $858 million. And that's
you know what's funny? Obviously. You know what came up on Red Light, Green Light on the... classic episode that I'm making a part of the archive today. The very first Avengers movie. And really? I'm furious. And you're like, thumbs up, green. And I'm like, please, no, stop. Red.
You're like, maybe there'll be no more of these.
It was pretty great. it's embarrassing hearing. I think there's like household names that we don't know how to pronounce and stuff. It's very weird listening to us from 10 years ago. It's very weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Brett Lennon, less than me now. Number four for me. High expectations, because we liked the...
that came out like in the 90s, Brian. Stop it. You keep giving that movie credit,
what?
And it's a good movie.
What are you talking about?
High expectations.
Oh. Great expectations?
Was that a clunker and an inaccurate clunker?
Yeah, that was pretty
bad. It was
bad.
A clunker joke.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was really bad. Thank God my wife's not here.
That was a drunk dad joke. Oh, is that more girl in the 90s? Oh.
High expectations? More like low. And that, actually, somebody walked out of the theater and I heard them saying that after high expectations. High expectations? More like low expectations. Am I right? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
You're like, why did I think of that?
That movie's great.
Oh, you did like that movie.
I like Great Expectations quite a bit. And great sex scene. Get that hand out of there. It's inappropriate place.
That's where it goes. Number four for me. High expectations, Anderson, because I was very pleasantly surprised by the original.
Let's go,
first one.
Yeah.
The sequel, however, did not live up. It Chapter Two, directed by Anthony Muschietti.
Mm. You know what? I'm not going to credit the directors unless I have to, because it's like it's rude.
Oh, okay. Directed by someone who I don't know. Can you bleep that out?
Mm.
Yeah, there's.
I'll make it so it's backwards, so it'll sound like Muschietti.
The thing that made the first one special, the kids, was hardly a part of this one, and as such, I didn't care about the adults. I wanted to care, but I did not care about their journeys. This was also...
What about Bill Hader? Bill Hader was so good. He killed it. He was so funny.
Bill Hader was good.
He's so funny.
Not enough to save the movie.
Not nearly enough.
First one was a nice slow burn, and this one was like frenetic and like so active.
We're going to throw a lot of shit.
Slow down.
It's like chapter 2, 3, and 4 all crammed into one.
Well put.
People loved it, though.
It's a lot of stuff about, like, no, they, I don't think
people
they did.
Loved it. It came out right around the same time as Groupers, and it was hard to read, like, negative reviews from some critics, and then I would look at other movies that they recently
they
reviewed,
loved it.
And they loved it. I'm like, what? Really? Really?
It Chapter 2 was the 10th highest grossing film of the year, $211 million. People did like it.
It?
People went to see it.
They liked it.
Chapter 2.
They had great expectations
for it. There was, like, stuff about, like, tribal rituals I didn't give a fuck about. I was like, all right, get back to the, like...
Pennywise was great, though. And you know what?
Pennywise was great.
One of my favorite trailers of last year was the original It 2 trailer with the old woman. It was very good.
Ooh.
It was a lot of fun.
Elizabeth Moss in Us.
In Us.
In Us. The movie Us.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
She had a small role.
Towards the end. Mm. Yeah. God, I just... That movie just needs to get out of my head. It makes me uncomfortable.
Get out of your head?
Yeah. Get it out
get
of...
This is perfect.
Number three for me. This is a franchise, if you can call it that, or a pre-existing, in my mind, tentpole. what do you call it? Series, I guess. It's based on a web series, which I love. And it's called Between Two Ferns.
Oh.
And I feel like if this movie
was... Is this a real movie?
Yeah, it's a real movie. Mm. It's got... It's got credits. Mm. I mean, it's as real as the Practical Jokers movie that's coming out soon, and it's as real as your stupid Jackass movies that you consider real.
These are great movies.
And this had a storyline, and it was disappointing that they mailed it in for everything that wasn't. So Between Two Ferns is Zach Galifianakis interviewing celebrities. And for those of you who have not seen it, for those of you who have seen it, you know the glory that is Between Two Ferns. Have you seen any of the Between Two Ferns?
I've seen clips and such.
Clips? I mean, yeah. They're 5-minute interviews. I don't know why you want to watch it.
I've seen clips.
You've seen the 5-minute interview?
I prefer not to watch the entire thing.
Like, and he had some big guests on there. He had the B-Rock on there. That's what we call ex-President Barack Obama now. We refer to him as B-Rock.
I like that.
And he's just a very uncomfortable... It's almost like an ugly version of Chris Farley's uncomfortable interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that was awesome. Yeah. But he's not complimentary at all.
Remember the time?
So, like, here's an example in the movie where he's interviewing Paul Rudd, and he says, how do you feel, Paul Rudd? It's something along these lines. Are you guilty for being probably the most successful Jew to hide his Jewiness in the business? And the actors are really impressive, the way that they act. Mm-hmm. They hold it together. They don't lose their shit because it's really funny, the stuff that he's saying. And they have to act like they're very upset and offended. And it works. And it's called Between Two Ferns because there's a fern on either side of him, right? That's the set.
That adds up.
So the movie was going to showcase those interviews because a lot of people have since become aware of Zach Galifianakis because of The Hangover, amongst many other things.
Oh, was he doing this before The Hangover?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And this is the movie that should have kind of shone a light on Between Two Ferns, which it did, I guess. But it could have been a good movie. Mm. Everything in between with the road trip and the silliness and the absurdity was just real mailed in and cheap. And I guess that's the vibe they were going for. They were going for bad comedy, right. But it just didn't work. It wasn't clever. It wasn't funny. But the interviewers were as good as anything from the original Between Two Ferns. So it's definitely worthy of being number three on my list.
Number three for me.
I'm not naming the director.
Speaking of cheap, I imagine this film was extremely expensive, but it looked terrible. By the way, I should point out that at least Giovanni has emailed us about at least two of our films and tried to convince us of how good they were, mm-hmm. including my number three, Gemini Man.
Oh.
Gemini Man.
Yeah.
Yes, notable for the high frame rate, HFR, high frame rate. Maybe I will allow for the fact that maybe I didn't see it in the perfect... I saw it like the fucking IMAX 3D at the AMC, so I don't know what better there is. I saw it in, I think, the best format possible.
It's an experimental film, and they just picked a...
It looked fucking terrible.
Well, I mean, that's the whole experience, is seeing something you've never seen before look very different. The story... is so tired and old.
I was gonna say, like, if it had been applied to like a better movie, like I don't like let's just say for example, like a movie like Inception, they'd be like, wow, I really am seeing something I've never seen. But this was like, I'm watching a fucking like, 90s action movie. Like,
but there are plenty of people out there that experienced this phenomenon like Gio did, which was he calls it the window effect, where you feel like you're looking through a window. And I didn't want to be looking through that window. First of all, it was a window that I would have probably pulled the drapes. You know what I mean?
I would give this HFR another chance on a better movie. You know what I mean? If a great movie, if 1917 came out in HFR, I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's give it a shot.
And he wasn't the first one. I mean, I think this is the second film that he's done in this way too, which,
I don't know.
I appreciate them pushing the envelope and trying to find new ways to tell stories.
I have this note written down. Ironically, the cheapest looking movie I've seen in years, Groupers, looks far more professional than this.
What, Brian? That's not really funny.
No, at the time, Groupers, I probably just seen it in theater or something like that.
First of all,
I compliment you. We don't have to take a break.
Why? Oh, yeah. We don't have any sponsors. Let's just
keep it going, buddy. Keep it going. Bringing this to you sponsor free.
Oh, we're difficult to work with.
Hey guys, thanks for clicking through the Amazon banner. It's free for you and helps us out a lot.
Number two for me is a horror film, and a lot of people have suggested that the reason why I did not react kindly to It Chapter Two is because I just don't get horror. That's not true.
That would make sense because like we enjoyed It Chapter One.
I loved It Chapter One. I knew that Chapter Two was going to have some issues because everything that was great about Chapter One were the kids. Mm. And Chapter Two, we knew it was going to be a flash forward. They tried their best to shoehorn in the kids as much as possible, but the kids in here weren't enough to save this movie. I hate when people say the movie is just a mess. It was kind of a mess.
And I will meet you halfway and say I think the two best things about It Chapter One were the kids and the fact that it was a slow burn. Like, you know, you didn't get a lot of Pennywise in the first half of that movie.
And this, and I bet in the book it was probably a great read because it has, I don't know how many kids there were, adults there were, but maybe five, six. It has all of their stories running concurrently and it's cutting between all five, six stories. It was just way too much, as we already talked about earlier. It works if it's story A and story B, but when there's all these chaotic, crazy, over-the-top stories, which they are because it's a fucking clown showing you your worst fears and making you deal with the worst possible things you could ever imagine. I understand the subtext and what King was going for in the book. I never read the book.
You get what you're going for?
But it's just, it didn't work for me. Yeah. But It Chapter Two was...
Well, the second worst movie of the year.
Second worst movie that I saw last year that was a big budgeted movie where I feel like they... did not hit the mark that they were trying to achieve.
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at potential crossover now, wondering, I don't think you saw my number one or number two, which is good for you because they were terrible movies.
Mm-hmm.
Number two for me. This is a very rare movie that I did not see the ending of.
What?
Hold on.
It can't be on your list, bro.
It absolutely can be on my list.
No. Could be great at the end.
Dark Phoenix.
Mm.
Dark Phoenix is a terrible movie.
It might pull it all together at the end.
No, it really doesn't.
Probably does.
No, I went to see this on a advanced screening a couple days before it was released through the Corolla show there.
Weren't you fancy?
Our producer Chris, we went to see the movie at the AMC, my AMC, which is very nice in Century City.
Fancy.
So I'm watching the movie and it's fucking terrible. And at the end of the climactic fight scene between Sophie Turner and Jessica Chastain, she's about to defeat her and end the threat to the universe, and the film cuts out. And there's apparently an electrical problem, and they had to get everyone outside the theater. Right. And then you can all come back in and see the end of the movie after we get everyone out. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
How many other people left?
I couldn't tell.
That's a good test to see if people are liking your movie.
That's a really good point.
He pulled a fire alarm there and then get everyone scene. Out. Yeah, and then if it's working, if it works for people, they will walk back in.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it was intentional. Should have thought about that. It is a terrible movie, 23% Rotten Tomatoes. There's another one that Gio sent a detailed email of why it was not that bad. Gio, I respect your opinion.
Gio's getting tons of airtime.
I respect your opinion, especially in this genre where you are an expert. But this was a very bad movie.
What Gio does, and Gio, you know, this is not fair to at least myself, is like you hold it to what the original text was about and whether they're being true to that and if they're helping propel
and it. How it makes sense to the overall.
And the whole overall universe. Yeah. And like you're seeing it on a much deeper level than we are. To me, it's like making movies about stories from the Bible. I just be fucking lost. And they're good stories that hold up as movies or they don't.
And someone could explain like, no, this is about how this is the continuation of, you know, Peter's story. Like, yeah. I just fucking want to see a good story, man.
I just want, just show me Jesus walking on water, man. Yeah. That's all I want to see. That's all I need. That's the money shot for me. That's inappropriate to make that
quote. Especially, talk about Dark Phoenix.
Number one for me, it's already been trampled, but it's Us. I mean, how could it be anything other than Us? Us is the most pretentious, oversold, overbelieved, and overhyped.
It had its moments.
What are the moments? Even like at the end where it's finally like some good filmmaking and the music and stuff. What are we looking at, though? We're looking at absurd dancing.
Yeah.
Looking at absurd underground dancing. And the twist was not a twist. I saw it coming and I did not give a fuck. And what are you trying to say? Just come out and say, the hands across America? Oh, it's so deep. It's not. It's bullshit. And it seems like he was given the world on a platter, rightfully so or not, because of the success of Get Out. And I don't know if he was rushed into this. I really like Jordan Peele, but it feels like he had a weekend or maybe a week to go up to the mountains, smoke some fucking herb, which he openly talks about how much he loves his weed because he used to talk about it on Key and Peele all the time. And he's like, I'm just going to bang out a script and that's where we're going with. It felt like a first or a second draft.
It really did because there were we had a lot of questions. I actually wrote down my first note at the time was not every idea is good.
It was reminiscent of
what did Lupita Nyong'o eat when she was underground?
What did any of them eat? Why do they all
eat?
It's just absurd. It's stupid. It's Parasite. It's the same theme.
Oh, that's
right. Done in such a better way.
This is the bad version of Parasite.
Oh my God. It's like, this is the underground version of Parasite. Oh. Holy shit. Oh my God. It's genius. Maybe they got together to do this on purpose.
Is that why Bong Joon-ho talks like that?
Holy fuck.
What if they,
this is the others of
Parasite.
Oh my God. And all of the, Parasite was only shown in theaters above ground and all of the movie. I noticed all of the theaters that were showing Us were underground, Brian.
I fucking can't believe I can't let them put two and two together. The others can they can be killed and they bleed, but they also have superhuman strength,
What is the point of it? I mean, and they're following.
They're like superheroes.
They're underground and they're following exactly, but they're doing it
where did the millions of red outfits come from?
All of that aside, why did people like it? That's the biggest mystery. I mean, this movie is confusing and absurd and doesn't fucking add up, but why did people like it? I mean, there's people that are listening to this right now, they're angry, but you couldn't have really liked it. Not if you really like movies. You couldn't have really liked it.
Do you think if people felt like they had to like it?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely the case to a certain degree. Like, and if you're only half watching it and you're not really that hard on movies, maybe you do like it. If you see a movie like once every 6 months.
That's a good point. If this is one of the two movies you saw last
year. Is much different than Real Housewives, which is maybe what you watch when you have time. I don't know. Maybe, you know, it was spooky.
The motion you made me said spooky is pretty great.
So awful. And I don't like to say awful. And I love Jordan Peele, and I'll see what he does next. But this was what I started to say. It's reminiscent of the prequels, the Star Wars prequels. Like it felt like it was Lucas could do no wrong. He was finally coming back with some more of the story that we all loved. And no matter what he did, he was going to get the green light. And it seemed like first drafts. Mm-hmm. A lot of those scripts, a lot of what goes on in those movies feels like they weren't workshopped at all. That's what Us felt like to me. No workshop. No one said no. Jordan Peele could do no wrong. They were comparing him to Kubrick. Kubrick.
I'm regretting my number one now because it's a smaller movie. But it's a Netflix movie.
Mm.
And it was very, very hyped. Very hyped. It was pushed on me, Anderson. It was pushed upon me. I don't think you saw Wine Country.
No.
It is a very bad movie. Mm-hmm. It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. This is the movie starring Amy Poehler, Rachel Dratch, Anna Gasteyer, Maya Rudolph, and a couple of their friends from SNL, Paula Pell and Emily Spivey, give her proper credit. I'm sure these ladies had fun. I'm sure this is a fun time, a fun couple of weeks in the Napa Valley wine country. I'm sure they hit some wineries, had some good wine, had some good times, enjoyed fine meals, joked, laughed off set. One thing I didn't do while watching this is laugh. Mm-hmm. This is a painfully unfunny movie. Mm-hmm. A series of barely amusing vignettes. I mean, I think they were kind of going for a Bridesmaids vibe, but it is excruciatingly unfunny. This is like the stories that like your parents' friends tell you. You know what I mean? About their crazy vacation.
Oh, hey, I know. Yeah, yeah. Is this because it's the ladies and you hate the ladies?
No, I know. I quite like the ladies. Just not in this.
Mm-hmm.
God, there. And too many characters. Like, they had to give screen time to everyone. They're all sort of tropey archetypes. Like, she's the crazy one, and she's the really organized one, and she's the... It's like, all right, fucking yes, I get it right away. I know exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal, man. Fucking brutal.
All righty. Well, that kind of felt yucky. Kind of felt icky, but I think it's necessary. And you know what?
I'll refine my list next year, so I end with a better one.
Well, I mean, Wine Country is just not that well known, and you saw it because you're a wine fishing.
I saw it while I was in the Wine Country.
Swirling.
I
fool.
Saw it while I was in Napa.
I can see why you
were probably think. Swirling wine at the time.
Uh-huh. Were they making fun of wine drinkers? I would imagine. I mean, with Amy Poehler at the helm, right?
There's a little bit of that, but the other. There's this one scene where like they go to an art show and they and everyone there's really pretentious into art. Oh, and they really skewer him, Anderson. They really lampoon him.
Yeah,
just a hellacious. A lampooning.
Yeah,
it's just all.
And it wasn't. Oh, God.
But it's like it's such an easy target. You know what I mean? Like pretentious art fucks. It's nothing else.
Would have worked in cartoon fashion, like if this was a South Park episode with some more biting humor.
If it was a South Park episode, it would have been much more biting and much more, you know, sharp satire.
All right, listener list. Serenity, a movie that I did not see and I was excited about. Actually, it was supposed to come out in the end of 2018 and got pushed. It's made by the man, I'm not going to name his name, but he brought to us, Brian, She Is Distressed. He made Locke. He wrote and directed Locke. I believe he wrote it.
Serenity was the 140th highest grossing film of the year.
We're not going off of gross.
With $8 million. I'm just giving you fun facts.
Not that fun. Tied for five is Us.
Us.
And then number four is Ad Astra, which it had its moments.
Yeah, I don't think it was one of the five worst I saw. It just wasn't great.
And also, you know what? Looking at my list, I
disappointing for sure.
It really is, with the exception of maybe... Between Two Ferns, I'm going with how far they missed the target. And like, who the hell am I to say?
Sure.
You know, I don't know what their target was.
Maybe Ad Astra was trying to be really boring.
But no, I think Ad Astra was probably like, you know, he got pretty close to the target. I think he wanted to make that movie. And, you know, it just wasn't, didn't work for me.
Wasn't Lupita Nyong'o in that too?
Ad Astra.
Wasn't she the base commander like on Mars or some shit?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Look that up. Listeners have at number four at Astro. Number three, The Irishman. A lot of people hate The Irishman, especially the younger people. A lot of younger people hate The Irishman because they feel like
it's objectively a good movie.
They've seen it all before, and then it's filled with cliches, which it is.
That's true.
However, they love Joker. So it's like, what are you doing? You can't hate The Irishman and love Joker. You can't do that. I don't feel like that's right. I feel like that's wrong. You know what I mean? Tied for number one. I don't like the ties in number one, guys. Come on. Got a lot of votes this week, too. Tied for one is Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, and It Chapter 2.
Really? Us isn't on there.
Us is tied for five.
Oh, sorry, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
So there's six on the listener list. The listener is very spiteful and hateful. Serenity.
Oh, God damn it. I'm such a fucking racist. Yeah. Ruth Negga is the is the base command.
Also Rans, Brian. Also Rans.
Can we delete that, please?
I can if you like. Also Rans. Also Rans for it.
I'd like to hear these.
For you.
Oh, for me. Sorry. Well, I only have Terminator Dark Fate, I guess, almost made it. And Late Night was pretty fucking dull. Worst kids movie of the year I saw last year, Anderson. You did not see, thankfully. Ugly dolls.
Why would I do that?
It's not a good movie.
My Also Ran Family. Not a great movie. It kind of
the one about the Juggalos.
And the Juggalos are there's some great stuff in there though, and I do love some of the characters and some of the dialogue. But the end is just so hacky. Ugh. Yesterday, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm actually that was pretty close.
Oh, JJ.
Pretty close.
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which we already talked about. The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. I do have respect for this movie. I do have respect for it, but Jesus Christ. Cats would be on top of both of our lists, but neither one of us saw the whole thing. I watched an entire scene, and it felt like ants were crawling all over my body. Gemini Man I have on there. And then here's the one that's a funny one, because it could have been... Like, it's probably my top 15, 20 movies that I enjoyed last year. But I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of The Fanatic. I'm still very confused of The Fanatic. It's a Travolta movie. It's him stretching his acting legs.
You really think this is that good?
It's so much fun, and it's so memorable. Directed by Fred Durst, and I do think that it got shit on a bit because Fred Durst was at the helm. Not a good movie, but a fun movie. And there are some really... moving, stirring scenes. There really are. There absolutely are. And when you think about some, without giving anything away, but like he's just rocking back and forth because he's playing something beyond what he can play.
Right.
You never forget that it's Travolta, but you're going, damn, he's trying hard, and you're loving it. You're really enjoying his performance.
Okay.
It's an enjoyable movie. It's all about a fan, and it all takes place out here in Hollywood. So it's all like real. We recognize all the backdrops.
I'm looking up The Fanatic.
I love that. I really like The Fanatic, but it's quite easily one of the worst movies I saw. But I also loved it, and it's rare that I love a movie that I don't think is good. Okay. Ready to do some gambling?
Do you have a listener list? Oh, yeah.
Okay, buddy?
No, but I thought you were going to do a listener.
Also Rans, I can read a bunch I got here. The Dead Don't Die. Never heard of that. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I remember highlighting that one on Cinematics, but never saw it. Shazam.
Oh, Fanatic on Prime Video.
Oh, good. Yeah. Give it a shot. His opening line is, I have to poo. It's the very first thing he says.
It's good.
Shazam. Frozen 2. Greta. Come on, guys. Artificial Machine Intelligence. I'm not even familiar. I don't like to speak about these things. Motherless Brooklyn. There it is. Godzilla, King of Monsters, Adam's Family. But why would you? Why would you ever? Between Two Ferns, The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then the Bigfoot. Hellboy's on there. Demon House. I mean, people are taking taking chances on these horror movies. The Hustle. Come on, you fucking misogynist. It wasn't a bad movie.
Wait.
It
was I think of Hustlers.
I am.
What is The Hustlers?
I'm thinking The Hustle is that other one with... gold. They're wearing all gold. She's using cats. Rebel Wilson and oh Jesus Christ.
Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Yes.
The Hustle.
Yep.
Okay. I'm glad that you made that distinction.
I saw that. It's pretty good.
It does seem like a Brian. It's the kind of movie you would have liked like 15 years ago.
Stop it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. The Hustle. I mean, it's not showing up on IMDb. I don't know why. Long Shot. It wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't terrible. Little Women. Are you fuckers kidding me? What happens when 92% of your audience are males? Wounds. Wounds.
Wounds.
Cold Pursuit. Not that bad. The Lighthouse. You fucking Philistines. The Lighthouse should not be on there. Six Underground.
Unable to appreciate fine film.
Hey, Lion King. That one missed. I should have had Lion King on my list because really? What could have been? What could have been?
Was it bad?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh.
It was bad. Last Christmas, did not see. Black Christmas, did not see. Cats, layup. Dumbo, did not see.
Last Christmas.
Playing with Fire, did not see. I Spit on Your Grave, Deja Vu, did not see. Always Be My Maybe. Brian loved it. I can see
I
what you're saying.
I did not love that
you
movie. I
loved
did
it.
Not love that movie.
Always Be My Maybe. You,
that movie was barely
if you
average.
See a movie and you assign it to me, I take that as something you want to talk about further and that you like.
There was some good stuff in there.
You fucking idiot. Don't assign me movies you don't like. Joker was clicked through. I mean, clicked through. It was on the also-rans. Hustlers. There it is. Hey, get off Hustlers, Jock.
I don't think you have to have every movie that's nominated.
Everyone. Dark
every
Phoenix.
Mentioned.
What am I? Oh, you asked. I'm almost done
I
now.
Don't want to have every movie.
Men in Black International. Did we see that?
I did not see it.
I don't think we saw it.
I did not see
it. I don't think I saw it. Did I see it?
With Hemsworth.
I think I might have seen it.
And was there fuck?
No, did I see it? Did I see it? I don't think
was
I saw it.
That
no,
Tessa Thompson? Not. Tessa.
Murder Mystery. What is this murder mystery? What is this?
Oh, that was a Sandler film, the Netflix movie. Oh, I never saw it.
I don't know
either.
Things that happen on Netflix. Glass.
Sure you do.
And then the rest are the ones that are in the
Glass.
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 Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get all to right. it.
Let's do it, man. We got to gamble. We already settled last week, right?
Yeah. So last week was already paid off. It was the Oscars, and I watched Brian in his infinite wisdom sign me Pain and Glory, thinking that I would enjoy that.
I'd give you a choice in that and Klaus. And
I'm
Klaus
not
going to
watch Klaus.
You should.
In the sprint.
You probably ought to.
Results from gambling from last week. You guys going to pick a movie? Just read scores. Okay. All right. That's what the email from Giovanni was.
Just read scores?
Current scores for this week.
Don't
no.
do that. Please don't.
This
don't
week's movies. Why is it already open, Brian?
Why are you asking me?
Because it's to both of
it's
us.
It's your computer. Dipshit.
The call, the I don't I did not open either one of those, and they're both.
Anderson, it won't show open if I open.
I know, I didn't think so, but perhaps. All right, the Call of the Wild, right? That's what we're doing.
Sure.
Or Emma, I mean, or Seberg. Seberg's just coming out now.
I have no interest. Premature. Call of the Wild, big release.
Brahms.
Plus, I looked it up. So.
The Boy Too. He's a real creepy boy that he finds. The kid finds a really creepy doll that looks like the boy.
Creepy boy. I think I saw a trailer for
in
that.
The woods, and then the mouth opens, yeah, Brian, yeah, and a right. bunch of things fly out of the mouth. It's so creepy.
Isn't it Katie Holmes?
Yeah, I believe it is. All right, so we're doing the Call of the Wild, right?
Sure.
I have some intel on this.
I'm going to nail this.
I have intel on this.
Well, I looked up the score, so.
I believe you did, because I saw, this is no joke, guys. He was on Rotten Tomatoes earlier during the program, and he was holding his hand
up to the right
of something, just like, Scout's honor. I'm not looking because my hand's up.
You have to trust me.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's your score?
Hold on. I'll look it up again because I forgot.
What's your score?
That's too high. No. No way. Stop.
What's your score?
Stop.
Oh, see, you thought you'd get caught? Okay. I got intel on this.
Shit. I hope I didn't change my score. Mm-hmm. Right. Go back to the first one.
What's your score?
85.
What the fuck?
I thought the kids' movie.
Have you seen the trailer?
It looks awful, but
I feel like I'm going way high.
Okay.
And I went 67.
Oh, I thought kids' movies would be a little more generously scored.
I think that the critics are just going to be happy to see him back, right? And
Dog?
No. Oh. What's his name? Harrison Ford.
Han Solo? This doesn't look good.
Giovanni, results for gambling from last week. Current scores for this week's gambling. Why are they both already open? That's so bizarre. Call of the Wild currently sits at 72%.
Ooh, what are you, 67?
67, so I'm 5 away. You said what, 85?
I'm only 7 away. Wait, 72%?
It's 72 right now.
That's not good. I'm much more than.
What are you, 85%?
Yeah. 75.
Are you a crazy person? Why would you put 85 for that? You see,
I don't know.
We were talking shit about the movie before we began the program.
I guess with my head, not my heart.
Was it 85 when you looked at it earlier today?
I thought it would be scored higher because it was a kid's movie, beloved book, and all that shit.
Call of the Wild. Book is great. Highly recommend. All right, let's get out of here.
We got to do anything else?
No.
Is that it? Sure.
Hey, guys, the movie continues to be available out there. Really appreciate everyone who's helping support the cause by clicking through on the
old movie?
Amazon groupers. Those of you who are buying it on Amazon or renting it through Amazon while it's still available that way, really appreciate that. If you'd like to buy a Blu-ray, I do have some of those left. And I even have some of the limited edition ones left. I haven't figured out exactly which numbers or how many, but I will be letting you guys know. A couple people have already contacted me, but do I have, because there's only 151 of those, Brian. You have one of them.
I do. It's pretty sweet. I want you to sign that, by the way.
I will sign. And I signed all the other ones. So I just didn't sign yours. And yeah, so you can just go to groupersthemovie.com for all that stuff. And thank you very much. It's available on Tubi if you're very cheap or just, you know, hard up for money, which a lot of you students are. I get it. You can watch it with ads. I actually watched my first movie on Tubi.
Well, it was on Amazon Prime.
No, it's for rent on Amazon.
Oh, okay. For some reason.
You can watch it on Tubi. I've never watched anything on Tubi. I just watched 20 Million Miles from Earth, an old 1957 sci-fi movie on Tubi. And not too bad with the commercials. You don't really notice them. I mean, you do, but it's not like it's not like they're cutting into the movie. They're cut into the movie, but they're not cutting out of the movie. They're not cutting the movie down. They're not changing the...
Just finding places to insert ads.
Yeah, but they find good spots in between scenes. It's not like in the mid-sentence.
Thanks to Ryan Santangelo for this week's listener art. It's very offensive, but it's good for the revolties. It's revolting.
Yeah, that was perfect. That's not really revolting. It's a bikini bottom.
That's true. I assumed it was on you or me.
Looks like they used Manscaped, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thanks, Big Folk and AIDS Monkey. They are our listener feature artists this week. Check out Patreon. Anderson put up a bunch of shit up there from back in the Orange Couch days.
Yeah.
Long lost stuff.
Probably going to come back to haunt us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for clicking through the Amazon banner. It means a lot to us, and it costs you nothing, as in free. It's just a click, and it means a lot.
Next week, we have Florence, who will be our it's a different kind of show, but it's a fun show, and she is our...
Florence brings it.
Yeah, she really does. She was the... she gave a lot of money to Brian's cause. She is a honorary co-host of the show.
Yes, she earns it. She doesn't mail it in. She comes with a lot of notes and thoughts and topics and movies.
And we have a big reveal. It's a pretty big reveal.
It's big.
I think it's pretty big.
Pretty big.
It's going to change how we do the show a little bit from moving forward.
Film Fault on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks, Chad. Good luck to you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Welcome aboard, Jordan and Mitch. Mike Cole, thanks for tabulating all of our gambling, and Giovanni for all the emails you send. We appreciate them. And until next time,
we do it for Van Gogh.